Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Joining us now, the outstanding Rich Scarcella from the Reading Eagles. Sir, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
All right. I believe this is the last day that the players can declare for the NFL draft.
Yeah.
I think we know almost everybody along the way. For coaches, all these dates come into play. How difficult do you think it is to be a coach now in terms of how of shaping a roster based on everything you've got to overcome?
Well, just look at December with Penn State and James Franklin, everything that went on, and you're trying to almost close your 22 class. You're trying to sign 20-some kids, high school seniors, to letters of intent. You're dealing with players opting out of the bowl game by announcing that they're foregoing their final year of eligibility, and you're also dealing with the transfer portal. And you're still, I mean, you're dealing with the transfer portal every day.
Right.
But just like, and then you're also trying to prepare for a bowl game. So, I was thinking about that during December, how crazy December must be for college football coaches. And it's not a job that I would like to be doing, I could tell you that.
All right, so we're sitting down in a room and they ask our opinions. You know, what changes would you make to make the system better? Do you have anything off the top of your head that you would think that might make the system better, that you'd throw out there as something that they should discuss?
Well, there's two things that I would consider. And the first one is I would consider eliminating the December signing again, the early signing, because so many – it impacts everything. It impacts whether a coach is fired or – hired, or you know, there's so many coaching moves instead of after the bowl game, or you know what I'm saying, Steve? It just causes so much disruption to a season. I might agree with Sean Clifford here on the second one. I might pay players to play in bowl games. I don't know. You know, where does it end? I don't know that. I'm not smart enough to figure that out. But I know. I don't think that's the worst idea in the world. While I understand why they're doing it, I still the thing, and this is really going, I'm going off course here a little bit.
That's fine.
But I would like to know behind closed doors how teammates of players who opted out, how before a bowl game, of opting out of a bowl game, not opting out entering the draft, but opting out of a bowl game, how they really feel. And I don't know that. I don't know. And I would also like to talk to players who opted out and you know exactly why of bowl games, why they decided to do that. When you have people like Saquon Barkley and Miles Sanders who decided they would play,
right,
and they could easily have opted out. And I'm not judging anybody. I'm just curious more than anything. What prompted them to play in the bowl game? What prompted others to decide to opt out?
It's interesting because if they were to expand the college football playoff to 12 or 16, anyhow, you're trying to think of different ideas.
Yep.
If they were to do that, you and I both know the money has a chance at minimum to double.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Should there, out of that money, then a pool –
yes.
be given to the players that participate in it to prevent opt-outs in the playoff?
Yes. I think that's at least something to be discussed. And where does, you know, how much money would that take? I don't know that. I think, but at least, you know, somebody, let's say it's $5,000. Does that prevent somebody from opting out? I don't know. That's up to everybody. But say it's $10,000. Does that do it? I don't know. But I think that's at least a place to start to discuss that. And I mean, I understand it. I get, you know, Jalen Smith. It was such a freak injury.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it really was. I mean, it wasn't just a knee injury. It wasn't a run-of-the-mill torn ACL. It was a freak injury.
Right.
And I get it. But there are other guys like, I think I read last month that Jake Butt, who I guess suffered a torn ACL in a bowl game
yes.
for Michigan, said he would do it again.
Yes,
he's playing the ball game again. So it's everybody's different. It's just everybody's different. But, yeah, I think that, Steve, getting to your question, yeah, I think that's a starting point. That's something that should definitely be discussed.
Yeah, because what's interesting about that is that let's take Jameson Williams, who got hurt in the national mm-hmm. championship game,
yep.
and Mechie got hurt in the SEC championship game. They were both non-contact injuries that could have happened in the 7-on-7 drill in Orlando.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, some of these injuries, I won't say a lot of them, but some of them can happen in practice in non-contact drills. Yeah. And, you know, one thing I wrote last month, not last month, it's just a few weeks ago down in Tampa, I wonder when do players, when their team, let's say a college football player who is draft eligible or who can declare for the draft, who can declare for the draft. Let's say they play on a team, and that team loses its second game, like has its second loss.
Yep.
And you're out of the national, you're out of the playoff picture,
yep.
especially with a 14 playoff. When does that start happening? When a player says, "Okay, I'm done." I think that could very well happen going forward here.
I have said that repeatedly on this show now for about 3 years,
mm-hmm.
where I said, what happens when you get, and I went later in the season.
Okay.
I said, you're sitting there and a team is 4-4,
mm-hmm.
all right? They're 3-5, and they're looking around. They got the month of November to play. I'm done.
Yep.
Right? And believe me, we're getting closer to that, and here's the issue. Right. If you're a coach, you can't criticize it.
No, you can't. You can't, because that's going to hurt your recruiting.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's going to hurt you and how the players who are still left in the room might look at you, some of them. Yeah, I no, you can't say anything publicly about it. I mean, you know, it's really a difficult position. Look, I'm all for, like, you know, I'm all for paying players, like the baseball situation, which is apples and oranges, I get it. But I'm all for the players, you know, you're getting money. But when does it start impacting the game itself? Now you've got to sit down and figure out some solutions here. And one of them is, you know, it is paying players. It's not just NIL deals. It's literally just forget that veneer, just pay players. Yeah.
That's,
I mean,
yeah.
I think we're getting moving closer and closer to that point, especially as you mentioned earlier, Steve. If you have an 18 playoff or a 12 team playoff, when the revenue is going to be pouring in.
Yeah, I mean, because the money is going to be flowing in, and there's going to be a lot of, well, the schools are getting, now you and I both know that the money coming in from this is going to, you know, benefit the tennis program. It's going to, you know, there's, you know, it's for athletic departments to spend on their programs. I mean, these are not going into Swiss bank accounts, mm-hmm. but they have to come up with some solution somewhere. And they've got to be, I think they have to be forward thinking. They can't be reacting all the time.
No, that's what's been going on over the last whatever, how many years. It's just, yeah, you're exactly right. There's no foresight, especially at the NCAA. And, you know, it's not really a surprise that the Power Five conferences would like some autonomy, because they're not getting a lot of direction from the NCAA.
All right, so I do have to ask you, you watched San Francisco yesterday. They got your pack next. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's going to be a tough game. Oh, I was rooting for Dallas. I mean,
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. It's not going to be easy. I'm glad they're playing. San Francisco's playing on short rest. I'm hoping that affects them. But I think they have some weapons and they run the ball very well. Something the Packers have struggled with. Packers have a terrific pass rush, but they're not great against the run. We'll see what happens. I think Rodgers has to be on. I mean, really on. But I think it's going to be a tough game. I was surprised that it's a 5.5 point point spread. So we'll see. But Steve, that game last night, I can't remember an NFL playoff game with so many poor coaching decisions on both sides. More on the Cowboys side, but even I mean, what is Shanahan doing? Okay, you're going to sneak it. Just sneak it. You're shifting offensive linemen. Just snap the ball and go forward. Honestly, and I didn't get it. And then the first play after Jimmy Garoppolo's interception, you have him throwing. I didn't get that either. I'm like, just run the ball. You have the lead. You're running the ball effectively. I mean, we could be here for the next hour talking about all the mistakes that the Cowboys made. But I'm still trying to wrap my head around that because Mike McCarthy has seen Aaron Rodgers throw successful Hail Mary passes from a lot further than 40 yards. Yeah. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, man, they've done everything right. They're sitting here, 14 seconds left, the clock is stopped, they're at the 40. They might have two chances to throw into the end zone.
Exactly.
And win the game, or tie the game, and have no business tying the game. And when Prescott took off, I sat here with my mouth open like probably all of America did and just went, what?
I sat there and went, you got to be kidding me, because it's a plan play.
Yeah,
it wasn't an improv and like, okay, he took off. No, that was a quarterback draw. And you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
it made no sense.
No, let's take it this way. So, Mike McCarthy, I would ask him, so you think you had a better chance of throwing a completion from the 23 or 25 than you did from the 40? You had a better chance with on one play from the 25 than you did on possibly two plays from the 40.
Right.
Can you explain that to me?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
he won't be able to.
I mean, no.
He'll come up with some blah, 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 but he can't explain that.
No, I'm still like, oh man. Well, I heard from somebody who we both know, who's a Cowboys fan, and then also my son, who's a Cowboys fan. They were dying throughout the game. One of them used to work at Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know who it is.
I know exactly who it is.
He was dying. Yeah, he was literally dying with every play last night. So, and I my son, one of my sons likes the Cowboys. The other one likes the Giants. So the one who likes the Cowboys is just he said it's 26 years. He said I'm tired of people saying Cowboys fans are bandwagon jumpers. It's 26 years of misery.
No,
playoff
you're not,
misery.
You're
and
not
he's
a,
right.
No, he's right. You're not bandwagon, but you're right about Shanahan. Right?
Yeah,
he's a genius. He spends a lot of time making some good plays, and other times where he just thoroughly outthinks himself. Don't think so much. Just run the play.
Yeah, I mean, Deebo Samuel is a tremendous talent.
Right. I mean, I'm
Don't
no
get me
expert.
Wrong.
I'm no expert. I could scheme up plays for him.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, yeah. And it's funny, you know. What are the chances Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback of the 49ers in September? Not strong.
No, I don't think. Look, they got Trey Lance for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he feels that type of quarterback's the wave of the future.
I guess. But, yeah.
No, I'm just saying that's what he thinks. I didn't say he is. But I feel like Leonardo DiCaprio in the Howard Hughes movie. The wave of the future.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm hoping that the Packers force Garoppolo into mistakes, and I think that'll help. And Yeah, I think the Packers run the ball with a little more authority than the Cowboys do.
Oh,
and obviously Rodgers is more accurate than Prescott. Even though I like Prescott a lot, but
yeah. And my opinion, the two Packers running backs are better right now than Zeke Elliott. So, all right.
Oh, they are. I agree.
Wow. I mean, so it was a pleasure. Always great talking with you, Rich.
Same, Steve.
Thanks.
You stay warm. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks
Sounds
very
good.
Much
Thanks,
for having
Rich.
Me.